Firstly, a couple of readings. One from Psalm 113, a psalm that is one of the Passover psalms. And for the Jews, the Passover is an important celebration, something they remember annually, remembering how God saved them and brought them out of Egypt to a promised land, and how they had to follow the instruction that they were given by the angel in order that they would survive, in order that they would be spared. Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Let the name of the Lord be praised both now and forever, from the rising of the sun to the place where it sets. The name of the Lord is to be praised. The Lord is exalted over all the nations, his glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God, the one who sits enthroned on high, who stoops down to look on the heavens and the earth? He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. He seats them with princes of their people. He settles the barren woman in her home as a happy mother with children. Praise the Lord. And then words from Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 to 9. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who has begun a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. For whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Paul was there writing to the church at Philippi, a church that he was instrumental in founding. You may recall that back in Acts, Paul longed to extend his ministry into Asia and into Europe, but every time he was not convinced that that was where he should go. And it wasn't until one night he had a vision of a man from Macedonia calling him to go there. So Paul, with Silas and Timothy and Luke, packed their bags and headed towards Macedonia, arriving at the port of Neapolis, and then travelled the few miles across to Philippi. And on their arrival at Philippi, they were met by a group of women sitting by the river, and Paul started up a conversation with them. One of those women, Lydia, a businessman, and through his conversation with Lydia, she became a Christian and was baptized that same day, and invited Paul and Silas to stay in her house. So as the first few days of this church go, it wasn't bad, was it? A place to stay with their first church member. But unfortunately, following this, it wasn't so successful. And as they went around Philippi, they met with the woman who was possessed by a demon. And he started to follow them around and shouting out. And as they tried to engage with others in conversation, and after putting up with this for some time, Paul thought, well, enough is enough. Is this really, God, where you want me to be? And he turned round and faced her and cast the demon from her. Great news for the woman, not such good news for her boss, He'd just lost his best source of income from her fortune-telling, and Paul and Silas were dragged before the city officials and were thrown into prison. So this was perhaps Paul's first experience of being in prison. And we know that from there on, the church at Philippi continued to grow and continued to share the gospel with the others. And here Paul writes to them, saying, "I thank my God every time I remember you." He wasn't saying, you know, "I only think of you occasionally." Here he was, stuck in prison, facing possible execution, but still communicating with the church that he loved, a church that had responded to his message. This is a personal letter to the Philippians, not intended for general circulation to all the churches, as was the letter to Ephesus. Paul wanted to thank these Christians there for helping him when he was in need. And he wanted to tell them why he could be full of joy despite his imprisonment and forthcoming trial. And in this letter to the Philippians, this uplifting letter, Paul counsels the Philippians about humility and unity and warns them about potential problems. Philippi was a Roman colony and located in northern Greece. Philip II of Macedon, the father of Alexander the Great, took this town from ancient Thrace in about 357 BC, enlarged and strengthened it, and gave it his name. And this thriving commercial centre sat at the crossroad between Europe and Asia. And it was in about AD 50 that Paul, Silas, Timothy and Luke crossed and landed at Philippi. Paul's words to the church was, "I thank my God every time I remember you." As we've already said this morning, memory is an interesting thing. Think back to some of your earliest memories. Some will be quite vivid, others will not. And we might struggle to understand why particular events or scenes are so etched in our consciousness. Memory is not always neat and logical, but it enables us to see beyond the immediate. The memory of a God holiday might cheer us up on a particularly grey and overcast day. Memories of friends and loved ones enable us to continue and develop our relationships when we see them again. Imagine how strange it would be if every time we met people, we had to learn again who they are and what they were like. We know them, don't we? We've been in relationship with them, and we've learned to love them. And as that relationship has grown, so our lives have changed because of it. And Paul's letter to the Philippians was written at a particularly dark and difficult moment in his life. He tells us elsewhere that he's not even sure if he will be spared for many more days. He's imprisoned and expecting execution. And yet he describes his state of mind as one of thankfulness, joy and confidence. And thanks in this context comes from the word that we sometimes use for Eucharist, another name often used for the Lord's Supper. And it's at that meal, isn't it, that we remember again all that Jesus has done for us in dying upon the cross. And here in this letter to the Philippians, this is intimated. This word thanks speaks of remembering. Sometimes we prefer not to remember. Blanking out particularly traumatic memories is the one way our human minds cope with some of the particularly unpleasant things that happen to people. Even when we have the capacity to remember, we sometimes prefer not to, believing if that we somehow blank out the memories, then we can blank out the pain of what we have lost. But memory is a gift to us. It's that part of a loved one or friend that can never be taken from us. Our memories of them are safe and can be drawn on as part of the healing process. But as Paul sat, a condemned man, chained and guarded, he had more than just memories to sustain him. He had his God. And while his Philippian friends could only be with him through the power of memory and recollection, God was sufficiently present for Paul to be able to give thanks to him there and then. As he looked at the chains that shackled him, as he thought of the future and recognized the likelihood of execution, he might easily have urged that he had little to thank God for. But as he trawled through the recesses of his mind, they are full of memories and experiences that give him great cause to be thankful. Coming together today to remember and doing so in the presence of God is a powerful opportunity. For some of us here, the pain of loss and parting may be so great that we too struggle to believe that we have anything to thank God for. But God has given us the capacity to remember and invites us to use those memories not to rub salt into the wounds of the present, but to discover that even in our present struggles and pain, we can find cause to be thankful and we can express our thanks to Him and so begin to discover His presence, giving us the strength and healing that we need. But there were perhaps other memories which came to Paul's mind as he sat in chains. There was once a time when he would have been delighted to see a Christian activist condemned and imprisoned. If we look back to the beginning of Acts, we see Paul not as a Christian missionary, but as a persecutor of the church. As he reflected on his own condition, he must have realized the suffering and injustice that he was once the cause of. And sometimes our acts of remembrance are tinged with a sense of guilt, wondering if we could have done more, wishing we might have made more of our parting, or perhaps even feeling guilty that we are here when others aren't. It was 10 years after the Philippians had heard these words from Paul, 10 years earlier that they first heard the gospel and founded the church. And when Paul said that the Philippians were partners in the gospel, he was pointing out their valuable contribution in spreading God's message. They contributed through their practical help when Paul was in Philippi, and through their financial support when he was in prison. And as we today help ministers and missionaries, evangelists through prayer, hospitality, and through financial donations, we become partners with them. And in spite of the difference between and the distance between Paul and the Philippian church, here we have this partnership working for the gospel of Jesus Christ. The God who began a good work in us continues it through our lifetime, and we'll finish it when we meet him face to face. God's work for us began when Christ died on the cross in our place. His work in us began when we first believed, and now the Holy Spirit lives in us, enabling us to be more like Christ every day. And Paul here is describing the process of Christian growth and maturity that began when he accepted Jesus and continues until Christ's return. Do we sometimes feel that we're not making progress in our spiritual life? When God starts a project, he completes it. As with the Philippians, God will help you grow in grace until he has completed his work in your life. So when you're discouraged, remember that God won't give up on you. He promises to finish the work he has begun. When you feel incomplete, unfinished, or distressed by your shortcomings, remember God's promise and his provision. Don't let your present condition rob you of the joy of knowing Christ or keeping you from growing closer to him. This church had grown out of a relationship with Paul, but also a relationship with Jesus Christ, and were instrumental in sharing that gospel with others. Paul's prayer to the church was that their love might abound more and more in knowledge and insight, so that they might be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Jesus' return. Is that our prayer today? Do we long that one another might have a love that abounds more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that we, like the church at Philippi, might be able to discern what is best and may be those who are pure and blameless when we meet once more with the Lord Jesus? That was Paul's prayer to the church at Philippi. Remembering may not be easy, and that's why perhaps for generations people have come together in acts of remembrance, supporting and helping one another in the struggle and need. But let us use the memories of the past to find God in the present. Let us not be afraid to shed the odd tear or even express our anger and despair to God. He does not demand of us that we come to Him in a state of polite composure, but through remembering, sharing our stories, laughing and crying together, that we will find the strength for each day's new challenges. Remembering our loved ones might be painful, but forgetting them or allowing others to forget them would be a far greater tragedy. So as we shared in this act of remembrance today, let us pray that by God's grace, we might reach that place where, like Paul, we can look back and say, I thank God every time I remember you. Amen.